Well, those that came and brought your kids to VBS, we sure appreciate it. And we thank you for letting us have your kids for a week. And it says about Timothy in the Bible, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Amen. And that's what we're hoping, that these little kids are going to have the Scriptures in their hearts, and they're going to remember what they learn. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us alive to this day and all of the things that you provide for us on a daily basis. Lord, we take them so much for granted. And we thank you most of all for your word and for the message of salvation that's in it. And Lord, we ask that this next few minutes that you would just bless us, that you would open our ears, open our hearts, give me the ability to be able to communicate your message in a way that would be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, we want to do all things to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want you to turn, which you might have heard already, is that the kids were in the book of Daniel all week, and I would like to turn to the book of Daniel in chapter 1. The book of Daniel, chapter 1, and I'll read a portion of the first chapter and then kind of get you up to speed onto the scenario, what's going on in this particular chapter. We're going to start in verse 5, or actually verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3 of the book of Daniel, "And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all the wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongues of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and for the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names, for unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." And let's stop there, and let's ask the, well, we've already prayed. Well, let's ask the Lord to bless us again. Lord, please bless this message. Lord, please bless your word as you promised to do. And I pray, Lord, that you to get all the honor and the glory out of what's done here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've got this particular passage here, and basically, just to fill you in real quick, if you haven't read the book of Daniel before and you're not familiar with this particular story, what has happened is Israel is experiencing the warning that God had given years ago, that if they didn't do certain things and clean up their act, that he was going to allow them to be taken captive into a foreign land. And he gave these warnings, gave Israel all kinds of opportunities to be able to get themselves right and to avoid having this happen to them. But Israel was stubborn, and the people were hard-headed, and they had a lot of problems. And so the judgment of God came down on this particular nation. And so what happened over the course of a couple of years, a country, a very powerful country called Babylon, whose king was Nebuchadnezzar, came through and actually besieged Jerusalem and besieged it one time, then went away, then came back and took some of the captives, and then finally came back after a period of years and just completely cleaned out the place. And for a long time, Israel was nothing more than just a province. It was no longer a mighty, powerful nation. And so what happened is they had gone into captivity into the Babylonian Empire, And so in our particular text right here, what we find is that the king gave command to the master of his eunuchs, who the eunuchs were government servants. And he says, look out among these captives and find some that are really smart, that have intellectual ability and have common sense, and bring them in. What we're going to do is we're going to put them in our college for 3 years, and we're going to educate them. We're going to teach them the tongue of the Chaldeans. We're going to take care of them and give them a good diet. And we're going to give them everything that they need so that they might be good servants for us. And so that's what happened. And that's how Daniel and his three friends got caught up in this thing, because they looked at Daniel and they looked at his three friends and they said, hey, these guys are incredible. And so they got a lot of potential. And so that's what happened. And we're not quite sure exactly how old Daniel was in this particular time, but we figure he was probably anywhere from 17 to about 22 years old. And, you know, we don't know exactly back and forth, but he was a young man. And and this particular young man, this Daniel, just put yourself in his shoes for just a minute. He's grown up in Israel. He has obviously been well taken care of, well trained by his parents. He was taken from a family. He was taken from his culture. He was taken from everything that he knew as being familiar. He was forced into another place where they spoke another language, and where they had a different cultural identity, where for the most part they didn't believe in the God that he believed in. And so basically he was set down in the middle of a place that was completely and totally foreign to him. And put yourself in his position. How would you feel if that had happened to you? And by the way, things like this, captivities, kidnappings, genocides, things like this happen every day. It happens all the time. And it's an amazing thing how wicked we can be to each other. I've always been amazed that we can separate DNA, but we can't figure out how to love one another. It's just, you know, we're getting smarter and smarter, and we're getting more and more dangerous all the time. It's not even safe nowadays to be in the house of God on a Sunday morning or on a weeknight Bible study. It's just an incredibly dangerous world that we're getting into. But it's something that human nature has exhibited for ever since there have been men on the face of the earth, is that we have a sinful nature. And this is a result of our sin and our wickedness. And obviously God orchestrated this. And some people have a problem with God because they say that, hey, you know, Israel, even though they weren't quite doing right, they were the people of God. How can you get a nation that is even more wicked and use them in order to judge the Israelites? And I want you to know that what this demonstrates is it demonstrates that God does have the power over the affairs of men. He can turn a man any way he wants. Amen. At any time, the hearts of the kings are in the hands of the Lord. And you really think that you have control over your own life? What you're going to learn is that you have no control without God. Just let God take his hand of protection away from you for just a minute. And let's see what's going to happen. Let's see how strong you are. Let's see how invincible you are. I want you to know that what this demonstrates is it demonstrates God. And the reason why you're even alive here today is because of God. And but we're going to talk about some other things about this, because what I want to do is I want to focus there on verse 8. And this is one of the things that some of your kids have been kind of going over in Vacation Bible School this last week. Daniel is always an awesome character study for a young person. And this has a lot of good advice for a young person, but not just young people only. I don't care if you're 8 or if you're 80, you can get something out of this verse right here. And I will read verse 8 again. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So what you find is in the midst of this situation, number one, we've got Daniel's real, the pressure of his situation. And then you have him purposing in his heart that he's not going to defile himself with the king's meat. Now, just from a human perspective, it doesn't seem to make any sense why Daniel would want to do something like this. Because after all, you know, man, he's got the best of the best. All the other slaves are out there. I don't know what they're eating or what they're being provided, but Daniel has been promised to eat from the food that comes from the king's table. You got to know, that's got to be some good food. Man, and it's probably buffet style. I mean, he probably gets as much as he wants. And any of you know that we love buffets. I've got two boys and a girl that, you know, and I don't even have 10 kids like my younger brother has. My younger brother got 10 kids. But you just don't go to a place that doesn't have buffet somewhere in the name, you know. You want to make sure when you go, you get your money's worth. And if you go late enough for lunch, you can kind of push it past and stay for dinner. You realize all those tricks. But hey, that's quite a temptation, isn't it? And something always interested me is that in this particular case that he's in, there were several things that they forced upon Daniel that he had no real choice about. Number one was this 3-year period of education. They were going to teach him the wisdom and the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, I'm sure that he was raised in the Bible. He was raised in the law, so he understood the Word of God. And now what he's going to do is he's going to have an education on the outside. We don't see him protesting about that at all. He doesn't seem to have a problem with that. The other thing is they changed his name to this godless name, Belteshazzar. And some people say means the servant of Bel, which was one of the gods that the Babylonians served. And so he's got this heathen name, and he doesn't seem to have a real problem with that. But there's something about that diet that all of a sudden he's got a problem with. Now, if you're the average young person, you know what you're going to do in a case like this is you're not going to purpose anything in your heart. Listen, if you're a parent, one of the scariest things about being a parent is watching one of your sons or your daughters either go off to college or go off in the military. Because then it's time for them to fly. And then they can do whatever they want. And you may not ever know about it. The only thing I know about my sons are what they tell me. So there could be some things, I don't know, you know. But you pray and you seek. Why? Because once they get into that situation, they've got the ability then to make their own decisions. And isn't that what we parenting is all about? Is to try to raise up a child to the point to where, and not so like a helicopter parent, you know, where you're always protecting them and you provide them and keep them safe and keep them hidden from everything, but condition them to where when they actually get out there in the arena, they can actually face the pressures and be successful. We've been, we went around and around when our kids were little about whether we should put our kids, you know, homeschool our kids and, or whether we should put our kids in a public school. And several things about homeschooling that discouraged me. One is that I would actually have to spend money on it myself, whereas public schools are free. Number two, at the time, we lived in a single-wide trailer out in the country, and I could not imagine my kids staying in that trailer all day long studying in that thing. But then the other thing that I didn't want to do is I didn't want to close them off. I didn't want to put them in some little protective cocoon over here to where they never saw anything, to where they never did anything. And listen, if you've got the temptation to repeat that cliche that's so often repeated, you know what they say, young people these days. Oh, young people this and young people that. Well, let me tell you something. If you've got a young person in your family, you ought to be praying for them because they face pressures that you can't even begin to understand. We don't cuss in my house, at least not on purpose. You know what I'm talking about. We don't cuss in our house, but they do at school. And although, you know, me and my wife don't argue and throw out, you know, all kinds of insults back and forth, they do at school. And even though I would never show a pornography film in my own home to my own children, they show movies at school that are pretty close. Their friends at school are into everything and know everything. And I guarantee you might think your kid is going to public school and he doesn't know anything about drugs. He doesn't know anything about premarital sex. He doesn't know anything about these things. I guarantee he probably knows it all, or she knows it all by now. Amen. You know what they're facing? They're facing pressure. Amen. Some people call it peer pressure. And I think it's not only peer pressure, but it's other kinds of pressure too. Oh, you ought to pray for your young people. You ought to pray for your kids. You ought to watch your kids. You ought to watch out for your kids. Look, our job as a parent is not to protect the kids into where they never, ever get exposed to anything. Our job is to allow those kids to get to the place where they can actually face the pressure and be successful. And that's what's so awesome about this character, Daniel, is that here Daniel was, and he didn't have to keep the law anymore. He had no parents to tell him what to do. He had no community. His synagogue was miles and miles and miles away. He had no accountability to anybody but to those in the Chaldean community that were raising him. And he could have gone off and done anything. And listen, I pray for those that it happens to. And you see every now and then a young person goes off into the military or goes off into college or goes off into the workforce. And then it just, you know, everything seems to go away, man. And your heart breaks. And the hearts of parents break. And the church is burdened over things like that. And Daniel, he purposed in his heart. Tell you what my prayer is for every one of these kids that came to this vacation Bible school, every young person that's in this church. When you get of age and you finally get the ability to do what you want to do, that you've got the courage, you've got the strength, you've got the inner conviction in your heart to purpose in your heart that there are some things that you're not going to do. I don't know why exactly the text doesn't tell us why he didn't want to defile himself with the king's meat. It might have been because, and we don't know this for sure, but maybe the Babylonian diet had a lot of things in it that weren't part of the dietary law that Daniel was living under. Because Daniel lived under a different law than you and I live under. Daniel had certain responsibilities that you and I don't live under. Daniel couldn't enjoy a pork chop because God said you couldn't eat that kind of meat for the Jewish people. And he had his reasons, which we're not going to get into. And so there were certain things. Maybe that was it. Maybe not. Maybe it was because he knew that maybe some of these things were offered in sacrifice to idols, and that he determined he wasn't going to be a part of any kind of sacrifice to idols. It could have been that. It could have been, you know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, if you're with the king, and this is kind of paraphrasing it, he said, put a knife to your throat if you be a man given to appetite. And that's a good diet thing, by the way. You having trouble losing weight? Put a knife to your throat. That's what the Bible says, I'm telling you. I'll give you the verse later, but it does say it. It'll help you lose some weight. Maybe it was just that he didn't want to get sucked into all of this stuff. You know, he didn't want to get deceived. He didn't want to get seduced by all the riches and all of the... And you know, that's a valid thing too. Whatever it was, he had a purpose in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. And in the text, he actually had to kind of go back and forth and make some deals, you know. And he said, just put us on pulse. And he said, when we get on pulse, he said, let us eat what we want. You're going to find that we're going to actually be healthier and stronger than if we were on the king's meat. And that's exactly what happened. But But man, thank God for a young person that can get into a situation under pressure and then purpose in their heart that they're going to do some things. Pray for your kids that they'll be kids of conviction. We tell our kids all the time, have convictions. And you may not have exactly the same ones as your mom and dad. That's fine. But you ought to have some convictions. You ought to have determined ahead of time that there are certain things that, hey, you're not going to get involved in. And don't you take the heat when people start finding out that that's the case. Man, thank God for some young people. Thank God for Daniel. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And let me tell you what happens a lot of times is people will get into a situation of pressure like this, and they'll start blaming God for this. Look, I'm telling you something. Daniel had every opportunity in the world to blame God for what was going on. Because after all, it wasn't Daniel's fault that he was going to this Babylonian university. It wasn't Daniel's fault that he had been separated from his family and his friends. It wasn't Daniel's fault. And obviously, God had favor with Daniel. Listen, just serving God doesn't mean that everything's always going to go your way. In fact, from what I've observed and what I've experienced in life, you are almost never in an ideal situation. You always got something. There's always some problem. There's always some pressure. There's always some hindrance. You know what? There are certain people, maybe somebody sitting in this room today, that you're waiting to give your heart to the Lord when things are just right. They're not going to be just right. And don't think that you're going to be able to go up before God and say, Lord, I would have served you, but I had these other things going on. Daniel will laugh at you. Daniel was in the worst possible position that you could possibly be in. And what did he do? You read the book of Daniel. He's an awesome character. And he served God even when the situation wasn't quite right. Listen, don't think that God's going to be able to get your excuse accept your excuse. Didn't look like he was bitter at all either. Daniel wasn't bitter. Listen, there's some of you in this room now, you're harboring bitter feelings. You're a little resentful because of the way that things have turned out your life. Some things of your own fault, some things that have nothing to do with you at all. Listen, it's not time to get bitter on God. Purpose in your heart. Look at Psalm chapter 17 in verse 3. Let me give you another perspective on this idea of Daniel purposing in his heart is that just the definition of the word purpose means it's done on purpose. I want you to catch that. It's done on purpose. In other words, it's not an accident. Look at Psalm 17 and verse 3. David's speaking here, and this is this particular psalm is actually a prayer, and he says, Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Amen. Now, just think of, just put yourself in that psalm for a minute. And David's praying for himself and he says, I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. You know what he did? He made a decision about something. And you got to make a decision about some things too. I'll tell you something. A Christian speech will get him into trouble so often. I have seen it before. I had the opportunity through just a little bit of distance to be able to observe a young man one time in high school. And it seemed like, you know, for all practical purposes, this particular young man was doing good, you know, and had a good reputation. And then came the time when somebody observed him with some of his other friends. And what was coming out of his mouth was the same filth and the same profanity. And the same stuff as was coming out of their mouths. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you personally respect someone that was one thing on Sunday and was another thing on Monday morning? No, probably not. Amen. That's how some parents are.
Right.
And that's what you're modeling and teaching your kids. Because you'll come in Sunday morning and you'll have a Bible tucked in under your arm and everything will be good. And then as soon as you're out the door and in your car and you're on the way out, all of a sudden out of your mouth comes a completely different person whatsoever. Listen, a lot of young people turn aside because of hypocrisy, and none of us can get away from hypocrisy all the time. But there ought to be a purpose in your mouth that there are some things that you will not do. Hey, look, I am not going to talk like that. And that's, we're not even dealing just so much just with profanity, because profanity ought to be the first thing that leaves a Christian when he gets saved. I mean, it just ought to be the first thing to where it ought, to where when you do have profanity, it's not on purpose. You know, it's just something that bloop, you know, just kind of comes out. But not only that, but the speech. A Christian ought to talk different.
Amen.
Man, all the griping and complaining and the moaning and the Obama this and this over here and our government and all this kind of stuff. And the Christian is just moaning and groaning and complaining. Hey, listen, I thought we were headed for heaven.
Amen.
I thought there was a role that was going to be called up yonder. You know, I thought that we were citizens of a different kingdom. You know what ought to be coming out of our mouth? Things that honor and glorify the Lord. Things that are truth and things that are right. And I'm telling you, talk different, parents, and maybe that'll reflect on your kids. Maybe it'll help them out. Because you can't insulate them from all this wickedness. They'll know every cuss word known to man by the time that they're done with high school. But home ought to be a sanctuary. It ought to be a place where they can come home and they can rest from that stuff. You ought to purpose in your heart. Look at Job, and Job chapter 31. And in verse 1, Job 31:1, he says something here that is very, very much outdated and exposes the antiquity of the Bible and how behind the times it is. Look what Job said. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? He's got two realms here. He's dealing with his thinking and he's dealing with his eyes. Now, try putting that into practice in today's modern society. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Hey, listen, you know what you ought to have? You ought to have some standards when it comes to your sexual purity. That's going to make you really strange. You might even have somebody that doesn't care to be your boyfriend or your girlfriend because of this standard right here. But, and I'll tell you, when Job said this after he'd had 10 kids and was an old man, you think, oh, you know, once I get to be an old man, I don't have to worry about this stuff anymore. No, he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I tell you what the pattern is with David. He's praying and he's saying, Lord, you know, don't let this stuff come out of my mouth. Job is praying and said, why should I think upon a maid? You know what they're doing? They are creating a purpose in their life before the actual battle to where they know where they're going to stand. Tell you where your kids are going to need to have a place. This is where I stand.
Amen.
I tell you, I think if we had more places to stand, people would respect us as Christians a little more. But they don't respect us because they see us at all the same places, doing all the same things, living all the same lives as everybody else. Look, why don't you get some purposes in your heart? And let me tell you something else about this as I was researching it. Because I wanted to find out. You know that I want to find out what other people are saying about Daniel's purpose. So I found a few, you know, good things, the convictions ahead of time, things like this and that. But you know what I found more than anything else was the diet. Now think about this. They have, and you go look it up, try it, see if you lose weight. You might. But you got Daniel's diet. You got Daniel's secret superfood for intelligence and spiritual and mental and physical health and welfare. I'm serious, man. They have got this nailed down where they took that one word, pulse, because that's what Daniel asked for. He said pulse and water. And they thought, wow. Man, this is it right here. Daniel had pulse and water. Look what happened to him. Man, after the end of 10 days, he was healthier than anybody else in the place. And after 3 years, he was wiser 10 times. That's what it says there in the book of Daniel. It says, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Wow. So we got to eat that superfood, man. I don't know if he had queen bee pollen honey in that deal. I don't know if it involved tofu. It didn't involve tofu. Please don't say it involved tofu. But maybe, you know, he's eating this stuff. And you know what's amazing to me is that there are so many people that have read a monumental passage like this and come away with, it's the food. But we're kind of like that as Christians, aren't we? We're self-centered, we're self-promoting, we're materialistic, we're stuck on ourselves, self, 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 all day long. Never considering God, so we think, oh man, if I just eat what he ate, then man, I'm gonna have all this stuff. I'll tell you what the mistake is the mistake is they focused on the wrong thing. Had nothing to do with the food. Because let me tell you something, man, what if pulse wasn't available? He had to have eaten something. It's not evil for a Christian to eat a hot dog. I've had Christians tell me it is evil. Say, I'm serious. But Jesus himself said, whatever you put into the mouth, it doesn't defile you. It's what comes out of the heart. And I think we're stuck sometimes because we get this nice outward facade going. And you look good before your family, you look good before your friends and your coworkers, and you're carrying on the facade and you're doing just fine. But notice that Daniel had purpose in his heart. Job had made a covenant with his own eyes and with his own thoughts. Listen, true Christianity is something that is not on the outside, it's on the inside. And listen, your problem is not the main problem you have is not right now what you're doing and where you're going. Your main problem is what's coming out of your heart. And listen, you can't clean that stuff up. You need God for that. Because they're thinking, wow, these guys got wise and they got smart because they put this superfood diet thing, Daniel's diet, into their life, you know, and doing all that. Where it says, obviously, like in verse 17, and as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill. You know where their knowledge and skill came from? It didn't come from the pulse. It came from God. Amen. And anything good you have in your life comes from God. You say, well, God never helped me. God's never done anything for me. Man, are you breathing today? Amen. Can you remember your own name? That's God that did that for you. So listen, it's not all about that outward stuff. It's all about what you purpose in your heart. Look, God wants to know what you're like on the inside. Tell you what, brother, that's a scary verse. Every idle word, give an account. Man! Because see, when God judges you, He knows the thoughts. The Bible says the Word of God is able to separate and discern between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Wow, that's a scary thing. Notice the pattern. The pattern was that Daniel had a belief in God. He put that belief into practice by obeying God. And then he received the blessing. Excuse me. He received the blessings of God. So let me give just a little bit of a turn to this particular passage right here. Because we were dealing with the kids this week. You know, we want them to be children, young women, young men of conviction. We want them to be able to take a stand for what they believe. And who cares what their friends say? Who cares what the media says? Who cares what's in all the movies? That they make a stand and they do what's right. But then, the way that they're going to do that is not through willpower. They're going to do it through the strength of God. Amen. And listen, God wants your heart.
Amen. That's right.
God wants to change you from the inside. And you, you might be sitting in this room, and maybe you've been trying to be a Christian. Maybe you've been incorporating and putting in Christian things into your life. Listen, what you need is you need the source. You need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at John in chapter 3 in verse 36. John chapter 3 in verse 36. Says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let me tell you what this verse tells us. Number one is that every avenue to God is through Jesus Christ. Every avenue to God is through Jesus Christ. You cannot get to God except through Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Yeah, well, I just believe in a God and it's just kind of, you know, I know that there's a superior, supreme being out there somewhere and that he's more intelligent, less. Look, it's got to go farther than that. It's got to go to the point where you believe in Jesus Christ. Look at another verse. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 24. These are Jesus' words himself. He says, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's Jesus' claim right here. You have to believe that he's who he says he is. You know who Jesus is? He's the Savior of mankind. He's the substitute. He's not just the example. He's the substitute. He's the one that took your place in judgment. He was on the cross where you should have been on the cross. He took the judgment that you should have taken. And he went in your place and took all of your nasty and wicked and depraved sins. And he laid them on himself. The Bible even says he became sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That means everything nasty about you, he became and took it upon himself. And then he bore all of the anger, all of the wrath of God for you. And now what does he ask you to do? He said, man, God's so unreasonable. He says, you believe that I am he. That's what he's asking you to do. And you don't do that on the outside. You do that from the heart. God wants your heart. He wants your surrender. He wants your devotion. He wants your love. And listen, when you realize that Jesus Christ died for you and you realize that He paid the debt for your sins and you realize that all these things were done by God, man, you will gladly give Him your devotion and your worship and your honor. And service to Him is not going to be a big drudgery and a burden that you bear. It's going to be something that you're going to do joyfully. I'm telling you, He wants your heart today. He wants you. He wants to save you from your sins. He wants to give you eternal life. He's done this freely. He wants to do this for you freely. And you go back and ask Daniel. Daniel's standing up before the presence of the Lord right now. Daniel, was it worth it? Oh yeah, it was worth it. Listen, your life may get harder. You turn your life over to Jesus Christ. You might ask some of the believers in Syria if their life is easier or harder after they become a Christian. Harder. A lot shorter. Probably a lot more violent. Look, nobody's promising you a rose garden here. No, and if you got a preacher on TV that's telling you, look, you just give your life to the Lord and you start doing all these things, man, the riches, the health, the houses, the cars. Look, get all of that out of your mind. That has nothing to do with Christianity. Right. We're talking about something so much better than what this world can offer.
Amen.
Forgiveness of sins and the salvation of the soul. That's what He's offering you here today. And you would be insane to turn it down. You can walk out and you can turn it down and you can say, yeah, it was really cool. That was nice, but I'm out of here. I got things to do, people to see, places to go. And you'll be making the biggest mistake of your life. Especially now because He's given you an opportunity to believe on Him. My prayer today is that you'll realize that you're a sinner. That you can't do anything to save yourself from your sins and that you'll trust Jesus Christ today to be your Lord and Savior. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for saving us. Thank You, Lord, for providing everything so that we could be saved. And Lord, I pray for first of all, for Christians in this room, Lord, that if they are a little light on purpose and convictions, Lord, that You would change their mind, that they would decide that they're going to purpose some things in their heart and do those things which are pleasing in Your sight. Lord, I pray that You would help us as Christians. Lord, that we'd be good representations of You on earth and that, Lord, we'd be a good testimony for You. And Lord, I pray for anybody here that's not saved. Lord, please impress upon their heart, their mind. I can't touch them or change them, Lord, but You can. Please open their eyes and convince them of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and convince them of the way of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.